Okay then, Gemar Tov, and we're up to Daf Vav, and I'll show you exactly where we got up to. Shalom Aleichem Dov. And if you count down from the top, approximately, I would say, I'm just guessing, maybe 12, 15 lines down from the top, you'll see a line that begins with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer. And we're quoting a brisa, and we're trying to figure out why is it that the halacha demands that the Kohen Gadol for a full week before Yom Kippur, it's very relevant to us now, why he has to leave his house, he has to pack his bags, move into what's called the Lishkas HaFarhedrin, and he leaves his wife behind. And the Gemara was perplexed about this. Why does he have to leave his wife behind? Why can't she join him in the Lishkas Farhedrin? And last week we held a discussion about whether you're allowed to have intimate relations in the Lishkas Farhedrin. Does it have the status of the Azara? Or does it not have the status of the Azara? We're not going into that. That was for last week. But the bottom line is that legally, according to the halacha, the Kohen Gadol could have relations with his wife in the Lishkas Farhedrin. The fact that the Mishnah says Mafrishin oso mibeso, which means that his wife has to remain behind, that means that we want to avoid any possibility that the Kohen Gadol would have relationship with his wife. So for 7 days, he is secluded from his wife. Okay. And now the Gemara is quoting a brisa in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, to try to explain why. Why is it critical that we keep the husband, in this case the Kohen Gadol, away from his wife for a full week? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, Shema timotze ishto safek nida v'yavoleh. Now the Gemara says, what is this all about? That he might find his wife to be a safek nida. And the Gemara says, what that means is that let's say he has a relationship with his wife, and then afterwards she finds dam. And again, we're going to have to talk about exactly how long afterwards she found the dam. But it was close enough and immediate enough such that we're afraid that already at Shas Bia, when they had this intimate relationship, she was already a nida. She didn't know about it. He didn't know about it. It wasn't that we're talking about a rasha, chas v'shalom. I mean, Kohen Gadol, right? But he had every reason to believe that she's tahora. And after the bia, she wipes herself, which is called kinuach, and she finds dam. Now, if that be the case, then says Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Kohen, since he's in doubt, he doesn't know whether she, in fact, was a nida at the time of the bia, or she only became a nida afterwards. He's going to have to be machmir on himself, and he cannot do the avoda of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, unless he has a full week, and then he could go to mikvah at the end of that week. So therefore, we're mafrish the Kohen Gadol from his wife for 7 days, and even if he had an intimate relationship with his wife immediately before that 7-day period, and even if she turns out to be a Safek Nida, 7 days later, right before Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur, he goes to the mikveh, and he becomes tar. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to analyze this shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra in the light of a Gemara in Masechta Nida. So a lot of what we're going to be learning tonight is related to the laws of Nida. And just give me a second here for a technical thing here. Okay, now what happens in the Gemara in Masechta Nida, in this case on Daf Yudalet? The Gemara says the following. back in the day when the Beis Hamikdash was alive and well, they had what's called his askus betaros. And what that means is that, let's give an example of a woman who's preparing challah. So she has the kemach, and she has mayim, and she mixes it together, she creates a dough. Now, if she turns out to be tmeya, then these taharos now contract tumah through maga, through her direct contact with the dough, let's say. Now, what happens is that because at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they were very, very careful to guarantee that the taros would remain pure and they would not contract tumah, they required that after a woman has an intimate relationship with her husband, there would be a bedika of shnei eid. Now what that means is that an aid, in this case, although it's for purpose of testimony, so to speak, but it's not a human being, it's a piece of cloth, and we need two of them, one for her and one for him. And after the bia, he is going to check his aid to see if there's any red spots, and she will check hers. Now, in event that one of the two Edim turns out positive, I guess you'd say, in contemporary terms, and it has Dam on it, then we're going to assume that over the last 24-hour period, going retroactively back, she may have in fact been a Nida. And therefore, we're going to classify all the taros, any does or any fruits, vegetables, whatever she came in contact with in the last 24 hours, they're going to be considered as if, again, assuming the worst case scenario, as if they were tmeim. Now, this halacha has to do with the physiological structure of a woman's body, because the dam nida comes from the womb, and it takes a long time to go from the bayis hapnimi till it goes out to the bayis hachitzon. You know, it could linger in her body for as long as 24 hours after it leaves the makar, and she doesn't know that she was in nida. So that's the 24-hour period retroactively. So let's review what we know. Noshim ha'oskos b'taros, I'm just quoting a summary of the Gemara Nida, mishamshos b'shnei edim, echad lo v'echad lo. So after the bia, she checks her aid, he checks his, to see if they find, if they discover any dam. If any dam is found, then both of them now are established to be tmeim. And the reason why they're both established to be tmeim, even if only he finds dam on his aid, is because the halacha works with the premise that ein derech ha'ish lotzeis mimenu dam. I mean, again, it's physiologically possible that a man could have dam, but the assumption is that he doesn't have dam, she has dam. So now that he finds dam on the aid that he used to wipe himself after the bia, the assumption is that this dam that he found was her dam nida, and therefore he becomes tameh and she becomes tameh. Now, assuming she made this bedika immediately after the bia, that's called osyom. Osyom means miyad. It's a Greek word that means immediately. So if she checks herself immediately after the intimacy, then we assume without a doubt that there was dam nida at the time of the maisa bia, and therefore they're both tmeim Vadai. Fine. Now, if on the other hand, she waited a little bit of time, she delayed until she did the bdika, and it was past Os Yom, let's say it was 5 minutes later after the bdika, then the tumah here becomes a tumas suffik. What do I mean? She's tmeya b'taras vadai, because she saw dam with an internal bedika. Any time a woman checks herself internally and she finds dam on the cloth, she's tmeya b'taras vadai. His status, though, is tamei b'taras suffik. Why? Because there's a possibility that the dam neither came out of her body after the maisa bia. So as far as he's concerned, we don't know if there was dam b'shas bia, and therefore his status is that of a suffik tamei. Now all this is built on one halachic premise, and that's called boel nida. Not only is a nida tmeya b'tumas nida, but a boel nida is also tamei b'toras boel nida. And to a large extent, his status is identical to hers, meaning that a boel nida has the same tuma as she does. However, as we're going to learn this sugya, that's not clear. Although both he and she will be tmeim for 7 days, but nevertheless there may be nuances, but important nuances, of differences between her status and the laws that govern her and his status. Now, Amrua Rabbon and Kami Rav Chizda, when the Bnei Yeshiva presented this brice of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in the presence of Rav Chizda, that we're afraid that the Kohen Gadol, after he has an intimate relationship with his wife, might find dam on the aid, and therefore he is a suffek boel nida, kiman. And the Gemara says that the Bnei HaYeshiva asked the following question. Which of the shitos in a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon does this brisa of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira reflect? And the Gemara assumes that it reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Ki Rabbi Akiva di Omar nida mitama es boala. That if a nida sees dam, then we're going to be mitame this woman Lemafreya meis leis, a full 24 hours. Which again, as we said before, if she came in contact with any taros, like she rolled the dough, then if she had done it within the last 24 hours before she found the dam, then the status of that dough is tame. Fine. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? Nida mitama es bola. In other words, when this woman finds dam subsequent to the bia, it triggers off two halachas. One halacha is midrabanan, is a gzeras chachamim, and that is that all the taros that she came in contact with lemafreya for the last 24 hours are tmeim. And number two, a second din, but this is already a doraisa halacha, is that mitame es bol. Now, what does that mean, mitame es bol? And how does the Gemara assume that this is the unique shita of Rabbi Akiva? So let's read on in the Gemara. De'i Rabbanan, if Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who's afraid that the Kohen Gadol, subsequent to his relationship with his wife, is going to find dam on the cloth, and therefore he will have the status of a suffek boel nida, that has to fit and reflect the shita of Rabbi Akiva, cannot be reconciled with the Rabbanan. Why? Ha'amri, the Rabbanan say, ein nida mitame is bol. meaning that even if a woman, let's say in our case, the wife of the Kohen Gadol, finds dam after bia, then his status is not that of a suffek boel nida. And the premise that the Gemara is working with here is that she didn't check herself immediately after the bia, because if she had osyom, what we mentioned before, then it would be vadai that he was boel nida. We have a suffek because a certain period of time, we'll call it 5 minutes, passed by since the bia until she made the bedika. And the Rabbanan say that in such a case, ein hanida mitame yisbola, the fact that she becomes a nida and she is established as such, the moment that she sees the dam on the aid, that does not impact on him, because that's also a lemafreya halacha. Meaning, there's time T1 and time T2. At time T1, he had a relationship with her. At time T2, she found the dam and she became a nida. And if we would apply the halacha of lemafreya to the Baal, to the Boel, then we're in Rabbi Akiva's territory, and his status is that of a safek boel nida, which of course would mean that he has to wait 7 days until he goes to the mikvah, and he certainly is enjoined from doing the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra has to guarantee that that 7-day period will allow the Kohen Gadol, even if he had an intimate relationship with his wife right before the 7 days, it gives him enough time for him to be tovel and to be mitire himself at the end of that 7-day period before he enters into the day of Yom Kippur to do the avodah. On the other hand, if we go like the Rabbanan, then the Rabbanan would argue that the tumah lemafreya does not apply to the boel, although it does apply to taros, but we're not going to go as far as to say that he is tamei, even b'taros safek, as a bal nida. So this is what the Talmidim of the Yeshiva presented to Rav Chisda, and they did a kind of matching, if you know what I mean. There's Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon, and they took Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and they matched them up with Rabbi Akiva. Amar lehu Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda returns to the Bnei Yeshiva and he says, Afilu temer Rabbanon, I can reconcile Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra even with the Chachamim. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanon aleid Rabbi Akiva ela bi achar achar. Aval bechad achar module. And Rav Chisda now sets up 3 different time periods. There's the time period immediately after the bia. That's called achar. I'm sorry. The time period immediately after the bia, that's called asyom. Then there's a time period a few minutes later, which is called achar. And then there's a later period of time, within a 24-hour period of time, which is called achar b'achar. So it's the middle category, which the Gemara is now establishing, according to Rav Chisda, less man de polig, that's universally considered a tamei baal nida, meaning a suffik tamei baal nida. But in the third category, that's where we have the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanu, which is called achar achar, a double achar. So there's esyom, which is immediate, then there's achar, let's call it a 5-minute period, and then there's achar achar. So in other words, if she found dam on her cloth achar, then even the Rabbanan would say that that's close enough to the act of bia to establish the boel as a suffek ba'al nida. He's going to be tamei mitzad suffek. But if it was achar achar, not achar zman abia, but achar achar, Then there's going to be a machlokes between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Akiva. Now, when is it considered achar achar? So the Gemara establishes in Masechta Nida a concept called sheyarda me'amita vidichas atzma b'makom bia. The moment that she gets off the bed and she starts cleaning herself off, at that point, we're going to have, in event that she finds dam on the cloth, we're going to have a machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Akiva. That's called achar achar. As long as she's still lying on the bed, then we assume, at least as a suffolk, then any dam that she finds after the kinuach on the aid could possibly be related to the shas bia. Once she gets off the bed, that's already achar achar, and according to the Rabbanan Shita, we're not going to be metami the boel. Now, in the light of this statement of Rav Chisda, we can summarize that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra could be reconciled even with the Rabbana. And the reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, in his logic, requires Prisha of the Kohen Gadol for 7 days is because we're afraid that immediately, not immediately Asyom, but Achar Zman Habia, while she's still on the bed, after the intimacy, she wiped herself and found Dam on the aid. And if that would happen, the Kohen Gadol now, for the next 7 days, is called a Safek Baal Nida, and we will not allow him to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. To guarantee that the Kohen Gadol will be Tahar, and he can do the Avodah, we have to make sure that the intimacy took place before that 7-day period, such that even in the worst case scenario, if she finds Dam on the aid, very close to the bia, even before she gets off the bed, he will have the opportunity, counting 7 days, to go to mikvah on the 7th day. That's before the night of Yom HaKippur. Amar Rabbi Zera. Now, I mentioned to you before that one of the issues in Boel Nida is whether or not his status in Tumah is identical to the Nida herself. Omer Rabbi Zera, Shmamina, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says that the reason why we separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife is so that he should not contract Tumas Boel Nida. And the Mishnah tells us that therefore, we, in order to guarantee that, we have to be Mafreshim for 7 days. We have to establish that Boel Nida Eino Kenida. So you have a mathematical chart over here. You have Boel Nida and Nida with an equal sign. I'm going to put a slash across the equal sign. And how is that so? Because V'tovel B'yom, he can go to mikvah on the 7th day. That's not true for a Nida. Now again, in a contemporary situation, we have what's called Zayin Nikiyim. So Zayin Nikiyim is not really relevant to this sugi because that's a case of a Zava. And our ladies are assumed to be, when they see Dam Nida, Zava, and therefore they need Zayin Nikiyim. Technically, a woman, after she counts Zayin Nikiyim, she could go to mikvah on the 7th day. But if she was a Nida, then that precludes the possibility of her being Tovelas on day number 7. She has to wait until day number 8 to go to the mikvah. So the Gemara now, by implication, Rabbi Zera is implying the following question. How could it be that we can guarantee that the Kohen Gadol could do the Avodah by separating from his wife for 7 days if he was Baal Nidah It's not enough for him to wait 7 days. He's got to go to mikvah to be metar himself after the seventh day and the eighth day. And that's going to be the day of Yom Kippur. And he remains tamei for the entire balance of the eighth day until what's called Harev Shemesh, until sunset on the eighth day. Says Rabbi Zera, we have to derive from this sugya that Boel Nida is not the same as Nida. That although a Nida could not go to mikvah on day number 7, she must wait until day number 8. Not so in the case of Boel Nida. His Tumah is, shall we say, one notch below, or less intense, if you will, than her status. And he could go to mikvah on day number 7. And as I mentioned before, that's true for a Zava as well. A Zava counts 7 days, what's called Zaynikiyim, and she could go to mikvah on the 7th day. A Tomei Mes, as we'll soon see, can also be Metayer himself in a mikvah on day number 7. And in our context, Rabbi Zera is taking the Tumah of Boel Nida, and he's classifying it not as a Tumas Nida, but rather as shar tumas, as other kinds of tumas, like tumas ziva or like tumas mes, where he's allowed to go to mikvah on day number 7. So that means when the sun sets on day number 7, after the Kohen Gadol goes to mikvah, he enters into Yom Kippur in a state of tara, because he went to the mikvah on day 7, and the sun set. That's called Harev Shemesh, and now he's completely tar. De'i amrit boel nida kin nida, says Rabbi Zera, if you would have accepted an equation between the status of Tumah in the case of a boel nida and that of a nida, then the law would be he could only go to mikvah after his Yemei Tumah have passed, which means all 7 days. And it's only on day 8 that he can go to mikvah. And now that we have a case of a Suffolk boiled Nida, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Kohen Gadol would not be able to be Metayer himself on time for the eighth day. He cannot enter into the eighth day in a state of Tara, so therefore he's completely disqualified from the Avod of Yom HaKippur. Because Emas Tavil, if you're going to equate boiled Nida and his status as a Tomei with that of the Nida herself, then the earliest time he could be Tovel is Belaila, which would mean the night of the eighth day, which is Leil Yom HaKippurim. Ula Machar Hechi Oved Avoda. How's he going to do the Avoda? V'aboi Harev Shemesh. On that very day that he goes to Mikvah, meaning day 8, which now coincides with Yom Kippur, he has to wait until sunset at the end of the day of Yom Kippur. He's Tomei for the entire eighth day because he hasn't had Harev Shemesh yet. And therefore he's disqualified for the Avoda. El Olav Shmamina Boel Nida Eino Kin Nida. Now, this is a major issue about how to classify Boel Nida. Our sugya up until this point, and this is Rabbi Zera's Chiddush, maintains that Boel Nida does not equal Nida. And as we go along, we'll see if there are any other nafkaminas between Boel Nida and Nida. But one major nafkamina is whether he can go to mikvah on day 7. And with the Harif Shemesh at the end of day 7, he's tar. Or does he have to wait like a Nida, who's Tmeya Shiva Yamim, and she can only go to mikvah on day 8? And from the fact that we guarantee that this Kohen Gadol is kosher le'avodis tar by being mafreshim for 7 days, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says that we have to do so because maybe he had an intimate relationship with his wife, and afterwards she found dama on the aid, which makes him into a, again, if it was achar, not achar, we're going to Rabbanan, and therefore his status is that of a suffolk boil nida. If we would equate the Tumah of Boel Nida with Nida herself, which is one opinion, then he would not be able to do the avoda after the 7 days, because the earliest day on which he can go to the mikveh to be matar himself would be day number 8. That's Rabbi Zera. So if we had a big whiteboard here, Roman numeral number 1 in this sugi would be Rabbi Zera. And now we're ready for Roman numeral number 2. This is the dissenting view of Rav Shimi. And the balance of our discussion tonight is going to revolve around Rav Shimi. The Gemara is going to fight tooth and nail against Rav Shimi. Rav Shimi minar doy omar afilu tema bol nida kinida. I am going to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's brisa with our halach of prisha, even under the assumption, the premise, that boel nida is a nida. He has the same status of a nida, and therefore he cannot be tovel on day number 7. How do I do this? What's going to happen is the prisha is not going to begin after nightfall, but rather before nightfall, which means that his last possibility of an intimate relationship with his wife would be daytime going into the first day. No, that wasn't clear. Let me try to formulate that in a more clear fashion. What I mean to say is, Prisha starts on day 1 of 7. His last opportunity for a relationship with his wife, an intimate relationship, will be Erev, the first day of Prisha. And that's called Kodem Shkia. Or Samach L'Shkia Sachama. So, just to give an example, let's say that the first day of Prisha is going to be on a Sunday. And Shkia Sachama on Motzi Shabbos is at 7 p.m. We're going to be mafresh him from his wife at 6:58. So that even if at 2 minutes before 7 he had an intimate relationship with his wife, and she turns out to be a nida, then his tumas boel nida began on Shabbos, not on Sunday, because he implemented this intimate relationship on Shabbos, the day before day 1. So now we count Shabbos as the first of 7 days. And that means that when we get to the last of the 7 days, he goes to mikvah, and that's going to be Erev Yom Kippur, such that now he's tar on Yom Kippur. Again, does everybody see the point here of Rav Shimi? It's at face level, it's a beautiful chap. Yes, a bald nida has the same status as a nida. Why not? And therefore, just like a nida has to wait till day 8, he, the boel nida, in this case the Kohen Gadol, has to wait to go to mikvah on day 8. But in fact, the last day of the 7-day period is day 8. Why? Because when did he contract tumah? The day before day 1 of 7 days. That means 8 days earlier. So in effect, what Rav Shimi is telling us is that an 8-day period of time elapsed between his intimate relationship, the Kohen Gadol's bia, and his avod of Yom HaKippurim. So if you count 7 days before Yom HaKippurim, the 7th day is going to be Erev Yom HaKippurim, and on that day he could go to mikvah. Why? Because he became Tomei as a Baal Nida 1 day before the 7-day period. And that's called Shach HaSomach L'Shkia Sachama. Meisvei, the Bnei Yeshiva raised the following objection against Rav Shimi. We learned in a brisa, kol chayvei tvilos, tvilosan bayom. The brisa says that anyone who wants to be metayer himself from any state of tumah can do so on the last day of his tumah, daytime. He doesn't have to wait until the evening. In other words, he hasn't been mashlim, he hasn't completed yet the Yemei Tumah, and yet on that very last day, before he's mashlim his Yemei Tumah, he can go to mikvah. But there are the following exceptions to that rule. And that is Nida V'yoledes Tvilasan Balayla. In these two categories of Tumah, and only these two, the Tvila is going to be postponed until the next day. So for example, a Nida cannot go to Mikvah, as we said before, and here we see it explicitly in the Braisa, on day 7, and wait till nightfall following day 7 to be Tahora. No, she can only go to Tvila on day 8. The same is true for a Yoledes. Now a Yoledes has a period of Tumah, which is either 7 days, 14 days, depending on whether she had a boy or a girl. So the Gemara says, why did the Braisa single out Nida? What about the Boel Nida? Nida in, Boel Nida lo. The implication is that the Braisa is excluding Boel Nida, and in the case of Boel Nida, like any other of the whole list of Tmeim, he can be Mitovel on the last day of his Tumah cycle, which means on day 7. And that's against Rav Shimi, because Rav Shimi wanted to assume that Boel Nida has the same status equal to Nida, and he has to wait like a Nida till day 8. The Gemara answers, no, there's no proof from that price. So why? When it says Nida, it means Nida v'chol d'yasim yiribuye. It means Nida and anyone who's in the category of a Nida. Anyone to whom Tumas Nida is applicable. The Boel Nida is now a Nida. He has Tumas Nida. And therefore, he has to wait until day 8 to be Tovel. Meisvei. The Gemara says that the Bnei Yeshiva asked another kasha, raised another objection against, contradiction against Rav Shimi. And this is from a Mishnah Masechta Zovin. And it says, Baal Keri, a man who has semen that comes out of his body, Kimaga Sheretz. He has the same status as someone who touched a Sheretz, Maga Sheretz. That's not the part of the Braisa that interests us. It's the next part of the Braisa. The next part of the Braisa says, Boel Nida Kitame Mes. It doesn't say that Boel Nida Kin Nida, but rather Boel Nida Kitame Mes. My love, what is this Braisa trying to convey by setting up this analogy between a Boel Nida and a Tame Mes? Litvila. Just like a Tommy Mess waits 7 days, and on day number 7 he goes to the mikvah, and with sunset following the day number 7 he's tar, so too, by equation, a Boel Nida waits 7 days, goes to mikvah on day 7, and with sunset following day 7 he's tar. Which means that we have a Braisa that contradicts Rav Shimi, because Rav Shimi equates a Boel Nida with a Nida, and he has to wait until day 8. Versus lo, there's no proof from that braisa. Why? The equation between Boel Nida and Tomei Mes is not about the day which is singled out for Tvila, but it's a different equation. Litum Asam. To set up a contrast between a Balkeri, whose Tuma is that of a Maga B'Sheretz, and we'll explain what that means, as opposed to a Boel Nida, whose Tumah and level of Tumah is equal to that of a Tamei Mes. Again, there's going to be one difference, that a Boel Nida, according to Rav Shimi, and the Gemara is now defending Rav Shimi, has to wait till day 8 before he goes to Mikvah. But that's not the subject of this Braisa. The subject of this Braisa is the Guf HaTumah. The Tumah itself, the repercussions and the scope and the application of the Tumah. Now let's understand the contrast between Balkeri on the one hand and Boel Nida on the other hand. In the case of a Balkeri, his Tumah is called a Rishon L'Tumah. Not an Av HaTumah, but rather a Rishon L'Tumah. Now again, if we had the big white board, we would have Rishon L'Tumah on one side with a line underneath it, and Av HaTumah with a line underneath it. And we would explain the contrast, the difference between the two. In the case of a Balkeri, or for that matter, someone who came in contact with the Sheretz, he's a Rishon L'Tumah. And a Rishon L'Tumah is only Metame Ochlin U'Mashkim, meaning if he has contact with foodstuff or beverages, but he's not Metame Adam V'Kelim. Now we go over to the other side of the equation, and that's Tame Mes, and now we're equating Baal Ishto Nida, Baal Nida, with that of a Tame Mes, and their status is that of an Avatuma. And to what extent is an Avatuma superior, so to speak, has a broader scope and a more harsh kind of level of Tuma than a Rishon L'Tuma? And that's as far as Adam V'Kelim. So if, let's say, Reuven came in contact with a corpse, and then he touches Shimon, Shimon becomes a Rishon L'Tuma. But if Reuven came in contact with a Sheretz, and then he touched Shimon, Shimon would not contract any tumah whatsoever. And herein lies the difference between a Balkeri and a Baal Nida. A Balkeri has the same status as Maga B'Sheretz, which means he's only a Rishon L'Tumah. So that the Balkeri could be Metame Ochlin U'Mashkin, but he cannot be Metame Adam V'Kelim. On the other hand, a Baal Nida has the same status as a Tame Mes, and his status is that of an Av HaTumah, which means that he has the power of conveying Tumah not only to Ochlin U'Mashkin, but even to Adam V'Kelim. So the Chiddush of this Braisa then is that the status of a Baal Nida is equal to that of a Tame Mes, and that means he's an Avatum. The Gemara says, I don't get it. I need a Braisa for that? Tum Asam Behejik Sivbe. Open up a Chumash. I don't need a Braisa for that. The Tumah of a Baal Nida is explicit in the Torah. And Hai Tumas Shivak Sivbe, Vahai Tumas Shivak Sivbe. In both cases of Boel Nida and Tomei Mes, who came in contact with the corpse, the Torah says there's Shivas Yomim of Tumah. I'm going to read the Psukim. The Gemara doesn't mention the Psukim. In Vayikra Tesvav, it says the following, with regard to a Boel Nida, Utehi Nidasa Olav V'Tomei Shivas Yomim. Fast forward to Bamidbar Perkutes, Hanogea Bimes, Lechol Nefesh Adam, Vitame Shivas Yomim. So in both cases of Boel Nida and Tame Mes, the Torah says Vitame Shivas Yomim. The same exact three words, Vitame Shivas Yomim. Now here I want to share with you a footnote. He says in the note, Mashe Boel Nida Vitame Meshneim Avatumehem, Ein b'kach kol chidush. The fact that a Baal Nida, like a Tomei Mes, is elevated to the status of an Avatuma, that's not a chidush. Lo hutzrach hatano l'ashmienu din ze. In other words, when the Torah says you have a Tumah of Shivas Yomim, the Torah is telling you about a Baal Nida that your status is that of an Avatuma, exactly equivalent to that of a Tomei Mes. So therefore, you're going to be Metame, not only Ochlin U'Mashkin, but even Adam V'Kelim. And here we turn to Daf Vav Amid Beis. El Olav, if the Braisa is not coming to be Mechadish, an equation upgrading a Baal Nidah with a Tamei Mes to that level of an Ava Tumah, because that's Poshut, that's something that we know from the Psukim in the Torah, then what is the Braisa trying to be Mechadish? What's the point of this Braisa? El Olav, our only fallback position, is Litvi Lasan, to teach us that a Boel Nidah, like a Tamei Mes, can be Tovel on the seventh day, on day seven. And once again, we have a contradiction to Rav Shimi, because Rav Shimi equates a Baal Nidah with a Nidah requiring postponing the Tevilah for one day until day eight. Lo, the Gemara says, I'm not convinced that this Mishnah is talking about Tevilah, and that the equation between Baal Nidah and Tamei Mes is relevant to Tevilah. Liolam Litumasam. The Mishnah is dealing with the scope of the Tumah and establishing an equation between the scope of the Tumah in the case of Baal Nidah and that of a Tamei Mes. You'll ask me, Pshita. The answer is that you're only reading the Reisha of the Braisa. Let's read the Seifa of the Braisa. Seifa Itzrich Le, let's read the second part of the Braisa. And the Braisa says, Ela Shechamru Mimenu Boel Nidah. That a Boel Nidah is even more chamur than a Tamei Mes. We think in our minds that on the hierarchy of Tumah, you know, you hit the red bell on top, if you've ever done that in a circus, right? And that's Tamei Mes. No, there's something even more strict and more severe than a Tamei Mes, and that's a Boel Nidah. How so? Shemetame Mishkav Umoshav. Let's start with the negative. We'll talk about a Tamei Mes. A Tamei Mes, and we said he's an Ava Tumah, will convey Tumah through Maga. So if he touches you, then you become Tamei. However, let's say a Tamei Mes would lie down on a mattress or sit down on a chair. That's called Mishkav Umoshav. And he has no contact with between his hand and the bed that he's sleeping on. The bed does not become Tomei. Even though a Tomei Mes is an Avatumah, and an Avatumah is Metamei Odom V'Kelim. But the general rule is, and that we derive from the paradigmic case of a Tomei Mes, that an Avatumah can convey Tumah to Adam and Caleb, but only through Maga. And herein lies the Chiddush of Baal Nidah. The Baal Nidah not only achieves that wonderful status of being an Avatuma like Tamei Mes, but it's even beyond. Because the Baal Nidah, if he sleeps on a bed, and even if he doesn't come in contact between his hands and the bed, or he sits down on a chair or a couch, the bed or the couch contracts Tumah through what's called Tumas Moshav or Tumas Mishkav, even without Maga, without any actual physical contact. And what is the status of the bed of a Baal Nidah? It's Tumah Kala. Tumah Kala means a Rishon L'Tumah. And what the Mishnah is trying to point out is that even though the Boel Nidah conveys Tumah to the bed on which he sleeps, but it doesn't goes down one Madrig. In other words, it's not that the bed now has the status of an Ava Tumah. The bed is only a Rishon L'Tumah. That's called a Tumah Kala. And what is the status of a Rishon L'Tumah? What's the scope of its ability to convey Tumah? That's only the Tamei Ochlin U'Mashkin, but not Odom V'Kelim. So that whereas the Baal Nidah is Metamei Odom V'Kelim, and one example is going to be Mishkav and Moshav, the Mishkav and Moshav itself that now is contracted Tumah because the Baal Nidah slept on or sat on it, that Mita, or Mishkav or Moshav, has the status of a Rishon L'Tumah, and it could only convey tuma, pass it down to ochlu mashkin, but not to other v'kid. So I both say, just to summarize, at this point, the Gemara has defended Rav Shimi, not once, but twice. We defended Rav Shimi against the attack from the first Braisa, which equated a Boel Nida to, which excluded Boel Nida from Nida as far as the day of Tefillah. Nida requires waiting till the eighth day, and we were medayik only Nida, but not Boel Nida. And we deflected that proof, that question on Rav Shimi, by saying that Nida v'chol di'asi mirebuye, in any subcategory of Nida, requiring that a Baal Nida wait until day eight, like a Nida, to go to mikvah. We deflected the second proof, which, from a Mishnah in Zavin, that equated a Baal Nida with a Tamei Mes, and we said the equation is not as far as Tvila is concerned, allowing Tvila on the eighth day, on the seventh day, excuse me, but rather equating it with the status of a Avatuma. And not only that, but the Mishnah concludes in the Sefer by telling us that the status of the Baal Nida supersedes that of a Tamei Mes, because the Baal Nida is not only an avatuma, but he also has a different kind of category of tuma, and that's called Mishkav u'Moshav without Mark. Toshma, I have another brisa. Detani Rabbi Chia has a brisa, and it reads as follows: Hazov ha'metzora metzora asubol nidu tami mes tvi'losan bayom, nidu v'yoledes tvi'losan balayla. Now we got the clincher. This is going to knock the nail in the coffin. The Bryce itself sets up two categories of Tuma and enumerates all the examples of each category. The first category of Tuma is Tvilosan Bayom. And then the second category is Tvilosan Balayla. Now on the list of Tvilosan Bayom, we have not only Zav, Zava, Mitzora, Mitzoras, and Tamei Mes, all of whom can go to the mikvah to be mitarah themselves on that day on which they're mashlim their tara, in other words, that last day of Tuma, and daytime. And in this list, we also have Boel Nida, an explicit proof to Rabbi Zera that Boel Nida is not the same as a Nida, but rather he has the same status as a Tamei Mes, etc., etc., or a Mitzora, Mitzoras, and a Zav and Zava, and goes to the Mikvah on day 7. The second category consists of two types of Tuma, that's Nida and Yoledes, and their Tefillah has to be postponed until day 8. Tuvta. Tufta means we have no answer to defend Rav Shimi. I would suggest in all likelihood that Rav Shimi was unaware of this price. He simply didn't know about it. You know, Rav Shimi is a great giant in Torah and he's an Amora, but he cannot argue against a Brisa. But he just was not aware of that price. Now, what we said before, that the reason why we're mafresh a Kohen Gadol from his wife is because we're afraid perhaps that after the intimate relationship he had with his wife, he might find her to be a suffix nida. So the Gemara asks, V'ad adshata mafresho mitumas beso, hafresho mitumas hames? You're telling me that the Kohen Gadol has to separate from his wife for 7 days. And that's going to guarantee that even in the worst case scenario, if he had beer with his wife right before the 7 day period, he can go to mikvah on day 7. Well, why don't we separate him from all human beings? Because if you allow him to be together with another human being, then maybe that human being Nebuch will drop dead. And if they're in the same OL, then the Kohen Gadol will contract Tumas Mes. Amar Rav Tachlifa Avua de Rav Huna, Mishmei de Rav is also Mers. We have to derive from this Shetumas mes hutrahi bitzibur. That if there's an issue of tumas mes and avodas hakorbanos, for example, the Kohen wants to bring the korbanos of the tzibur on Yom HaKippur, then for the sake of the korbanos of tzibur, we're going to be matir tuma. Again, assuming these korbanos are for, on behalf of the tzibur, which is absolutely the case in the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippur, all the korbanos he brings. Well, there's something called Paro Shel Kohen, but that's a separate discussion. But all the korbanos that he brings are korbanos tzibur, and we have a principle called Kumat Tumah Hilchot B'Tzibur. So even in the worst case scenario, if during the 7-day period in which we were mafish Kohen Gadol mi beis o mini mi ishto, nebuch somebody dies, and he, the Kohen Gadol, will contract Tumas Mes, says Rava, he can still do the avoda. Why? Because of the principle of tuma hucha bitzibur. Now, the flip side of tuma hucha bitzibur is tuma dechuya bitzibur. And the difference is that hucha bitzibur means we don't have to run around and try to look for somebody else. Because this person who contracted tuma is not second string, he's first string. But if I hold tuma dechuya bitzibur, that's mitakrecht, meaning we really don't want him to do the avoda, but b'les breira, if we have no choice, there's no one else to do the avoda, then we'll be doche tuma for the sake of the korbanos tzibur. And that, in this case, is the korbanos of Yom HaKippur. Ravina Omar, afilu tema dechuyahi b'tzibur. I'm going to reconcile our Mishnah and the law of precious Kohen Gadol with that opinion that says Tumas Ames Dechuyahi B'tzibur. And I'm going to tell you that the reason why in the process of being Poresh, the Kohen Gadol separating the Kohen Gadol from his wife, we don't have to separate him from other human beings, but that's for a different reason. Tumas Ames Lo Shchicha. Tumas Beso Shchicha. Shchicha means it's anticipated, you know, it's statistically probable. There's no probability that a person will die. We don't have to worry about the fact that the Kohen Gadol is in close proximity with another human being, and that human being may drop dead. That's called Misa Lo Shchicha. And in fact, based on this principle of Tuma Lo Shchicha, Tumas Ames, or Misa Lo Shchicha, if a man sends a shliach to another part of the globe to bring a get to his wife, we're not going to assume that during the period of time that it took the shliach to get to the other side of the world, the Baal dropped dead. We don't assume that people died. But Tumas Beso Shchiach. Again, this is the theory of relativity. It doesn't mean that every woman is going to probably be a nida. That's not what Shchiach means. Shchiach means relative to Tumas Mes, it's much more common that a woman will become a nida. Now, this halach, let me mention, of Tumas Mes Hutra B'tzibur is derived from a pasuk in Parashas Baloscha. In Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Ish Ish Kiyeh Tomei Linefesh. And then it says, V'yosa Pesach Lashem. And the Gemara derives that mi shahoya tomei bizmana krovas ha-pesach ha-rishon yase pesach sheni. But it's only ish. The pasuk goes out of its way to say ish. It says ish twice. And the extra ish is telling me that ish hu tomei v'yenu makrov pesach ha-rishon v'nidche le-pesach sheni. Aval tzibur shetmeim bizman korban ha-pesach is enom nidochim le-pesach sheni ala makrivim pesach rishon bitum. So we derive from this that Korban Pesach now becomes a paradigm for a Korban Tzibur, and any Korban Tzibur can be brought bituma, and that's called Tuma Hucha Bitzibur. Now the Tuma specifically in the context of the Poskim Baloscha is referring to Tumas Mes. It says Ish Kiya Tomei Lenefesh. So it would seem that only in the case of Tumas Mes can we makriv Bitzibur. But let's say, for example, you had a Tumas Zavim, or Mitzorayim, or Nidos, and Yoldos. In that sense, their Tumah is more Chomor,
And the reason is because it's what's called Tumah Yotzei Migufam. It's not that they came in contact with someone, like a person who came in contact with the dead. And therefore, Ein Makrivim B'tzibur. So that's the sugya of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Okay then, so we're going to stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're on Daf Vav Amid Beis. We're up to Itmar. And we can make a note of where Itmar is if we count up about 9 lines, 10 lines up in the bottom of the page. Everyone should have a Gmar Chasima Tova.